party down, location mysterious. Wanna rock this con like my man James Tiberius.
Jesse and Marina, they're mad clever like the Negus. Gonna guide you through the scenes, beam from London to Las Vegas. Where to go, how to dress, when to sleep, who to see. Celebs not to miss, Curtis Wong and SMG. Star Trek into awesome, build some memories at last. Set the proper course, the Shoreleaf Podcast. Boom.
Welcome to the 61st episode of Shore Leave, your Star Trek Convention Community Podcast. My name is Marina Kravchuk. I'm one of your co-hosts, and with me is my usual compadre, the wonderful Jesse Okendo. How are you, Jesse?
Wonderful, apparently. Thank you.
Well, just... given the circumstances, I certainly hope so. I hope everyone's keeping safe and thinking good thoughts.
I hope Captain Janeway. Yeah, I hope this podcast helps you escape from your house for a little bit at least. So
yes. Good convention memories. Yes. Yep. So as Jesse mentioned in our last episode, we decided to do a two-parter. So in our previous episodes, make sure to check it out. We had the amazing Garrett Wong as the guest. And in this one, we decided to have a fan discussion. So we do have returning guests, new guests. And Jesse, would you like to introduce them?
Sure. So in no particular order, I am going to introduce Debbie Renke, who is a veteran STLV goer, first time cruise goer. So looking forward to hearing what she has to say. And then Aaron Jackson, who is a veteran cruise goer along with me. And you did go to STLV once, but I think we drank most of the time. So I'm not sure that we know.
Exactly.
But yeah, it was fun. But anyway, Debbie, why don't we start with you? Go ahead and introduce yourself, where you're from, and tell us about your stuff with Star Trek.
I'm Debbie Reinke. I'm in the Bay Area in Northern California. And I've been going to STLV since 2013, but this was my first time going on a cruise. Usually my husband and I like to do a lot of cosplay, so that's a big part of the experience for us, which is very different on a cruise than it is when you drive. Also, I'm one of the admins for the Golden Gate Away team. So if you're anywhere near Northern California, that's our little group.
Yeah, and we'll be talking to Debbie about, she has like a mom van that she stuffs with cosplay to Vegas. So I'd like to hear how you managed to take that mom van into two suitcases on the cruise. Yeah. And Aaron, why don't you tell us about yourself?
Sure. My name's Aaron Jackson. I live in Albuquerque, New Mexico. I've been going on the Star Trek cruises for the last 3 years. We couldn't get in on the first one because it sold out too quickly. And we'll continue going until either we run out of money or they tell me not to come. Aside from that, I've been a fan of Star Trek since I was a kid, when it was in the 70s, when it was on repeat, or you know, when they were reshowing all the episodes. Yeah, the old reruns, the syndication of it. And also have been a huge fan of Doctor Who since I would say the early 80s. So
that's a well-balanced fan.
Yeah. You gotta stay well-balanced,
especially on a moving boat.
Yes. That's interesting. So guys, I don't know if you got to hear, but we did have Garrett on here and kind of gave us a sneak peek into kind of the talent, and we're really excited to talk to him because like he was just as excited about the cruise as we are. So looking forward to talking to you guys about what you thought. So two different perspectives. So we have veterans and we have newbies, and I think Marina, we're ready to go. Let's just go. Go ahead and tell us where we're going.
Well, first, just to give an idea, we did do the coverage of Star Trek Cruise 3 with Sherry last year. And as those people who are keeping track of the cruise side of Star Trek things, they are probably aware that this year was a brand new ship. Well, brand new ship in the sense of this is the ship that Star Trek Crew hasn't happened on yet, and a different cruise host. So they switched from Norwegian to Royal Caribbean. So in certain ways, I suppose this was a new experience for pretty much everyone going on the trip, regardless whether they've done a Star Trek cruise before or not, because you did have that one parameter, new ship, new cruise host. So I suppose let's just start with sort of overall impressions. I mean, I know we all have been waiting for it for a year. I know I was very excited to try it. So
some of us over a year.
four, 14 months, but who's counting?
Oh, that's right. Yes, that's another thing. They moved the timeline, which actually, for I believe for Debbie and I, same thing for Debbie. We weren't able to do the cruise before because January just time-wise was not working. And once they moved it to March, I was like, yes, great. Yeah, I can actually put it in my schedule.
So this is what happened. I called DCP and I said, there's this teacher from California named Debbie.
Oh, bless you.
Who cannot go in January because they'll discipline her. So you need to change the cruise to when she can go. And lo and behold, there you go. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
So it's all on Jesse. Everyone was unhappy about the time change. It's all on Jesse.
I knew ECP was pretty accommodating, but that's pretty cool.
Yeah, anyone listening, I'm totally joking. Don't go tell ECP I said that.
but Marina's right. Like, we never could go as long as it was in January because of my job. It's not allowed. And so when they moved it to March, I just looked at my husband and went, hey, guess what? We're going. Yeah. I was so excited they moved it.
Well, we had talked about that, right, Debbie? Because I've been going on the cruise since it started, right?
Yeah.
And so Debbie's like, I can't go. And then March came around, and I'm pretty sure you sent me a message the minute that came up. You're like, I'm going.
Yeah. Like, as soon as we found out, we're like, pew, get a ticket.
Yeah. Well, it's very similar to me. It's not like I'm not allowed necessarily. It's as long as I basically time things carefully within the schedule for work, things should be fine. But in this case, end of the year, you know, I do try to actually take a little bit of time for work. Plus, there's usually more stuff starts happening. I work in construction industry as the new year kind of kicks in. So it's very difficult to do right away. Like, okay, brand new year, and I'll be out for an entire week. It just doesn't, you know, I don't feel that very professional. So the moment they moved it to March, I'm like, okay, great. Now I can definitely put in some planning. Plus, for me personally, it was 25th anniversary of Voyager. So, you know, the guest list and everything else kind of played into that also in a major way. So yes, it's very exciting. And just generally I have to mention that first cruise overall for me, I've never actually been on a large ship before, you know, large yachts, you know, that sort of thing, ferries, you name it, but a large ship, no. So that was like an additional very cool experience to get to experience.
Yeah, it was, and Marina, you're right. So like for me, and I know Aaron, like it was kind of new because we couldn't tell you, especially in the cruise groups, we couldn't say this is how this works because it was how it works was all new. And when we had Joey on here, we did a pre-cruise podcast with Joey Fairchild from ECP, and he was telling us how they're going to try to change it up for us veterans because, you know, they didn't want us to get bored. And I think they did a fairly decent job with that. So so how do you want to do this, Marina? Let's get new impressions, or do you want you and Debbie want to start with your first impressions?
Sure. Overall, you know, sort of like the overall impression. This was a very interesting experience. I came to look at it as two separate things, and I did mention it in the previous episode, but I do want to reiterate it. For me, it was like there was this Star Trek thing, there was the floating convention, and then there was the cruise part, because this was an entirely separate experience in many ways. So I found the actual, you know, the floating Star Trek convention a thrilling experience they've had. And we'll talk about this, you know, the presentations and the shows. And, you know, there were a whole lot of people. Once you're on the convention circuit and you start coming across the same people over and over, and they sort of become your family away from family. There were a whole lot of people attending this year that I knew from other conventions, including SCLV. So this part, that was exciting, extraordinary. And we'll talk more in detail. The cruise side, I kind of came to a conclusion that I'm not exactly a cruiser. And I don't know if that's a function of, gosh, I don't want to say age, actually. I did notice slightly older demographic on board, but it just generally, it's the type of activity that I normally don't have when I do vacations. For various reasons, I'm not much of a, you know, sitting by the pool, snorkeling type of person. So for me, that side of things was kind of like, look, you know what, I'd rather be doing something else, but I am on the ship for a week, so I gotta deal with it.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that we need to remember, because it was a Star Trek cruise.
Yeah.
It wasn't a conventional cruise either. So like,
that's true.
The very cruises true. Are kind of, and I've never been on a cruise, but Star Trek, but talking to veterans, you know, it's very relaxed, you know, you have your dinners and your shows, but the day is excursions, or if you're on the ship, kind of just, you know, palling around, not like the back and forth we were doing, trying to get to panels and what people yeah. were doing. So. Yeah.
And I obviously I don't have a sort of, experience with previous cruises. Yeah. So for me, like the convention side of things was actually, I'm like, okay, this is the sort of frenetic activity that I'm used to. I welcome it because that's how I prefer my conventions to be honest, when there is a lot of activity going on. But I know a lot of folks that prefer to be precisely that, you know, a little bit more cruise, relaxed, laid back type of event experience. They were kind of like, well, you know what, this is actually getting a bit too much. This is not what the cruise is supposed to be. And I was like, I'm like, you know what, I'm listening to the folks who've been to other cruises, folks who've been to other Star Trek cruises, and newbies like myself. And I'm like, I'm getting a whole range of feedback from what people liked, disliked, were taken aback, or thought was absolutely fascinating. So my personal thing, I enjoyed it. I liked it. I finally got to experience Star Trek cruise, and the Star Trek part of it, I loved absolutely.
Great. So Debbie, tell us, have you been on a cruise before, Debbie?
Yeah, I had okay. been on one cruise before. It was a long one. It was a 14-day cruise to Alaska. And Marina's right. It was very like laid back, calm. There were a few things to do during the day, but there was plenty of time to just sit out and enjoy the sunshine and do nothing with the family. I was there, that last cruise, I was there with my family. This one, I was there with my Trek family, and it was go and go and go, and it was exciting, and there wasn't a lot of sleeping. But what I had it to compare to is like, you know, STLV, and there were some big differences that were awesome. Like, if you're in your room and you want to run to a thing and you're like, oh my gosh, it's starting in 5 minutes, you totally can make it in 5 minutes, even if it's on the far opposite corner. It's not like at STLV where you have to set aside 30 minutes to trek down to the convention center from your room. You could get from here to there super fast.
Yeah.
Which is good because they really didn't put any transit time in the schedule. They'd have a really cool thing going right up to the last minute, and then boom, another really cool thing started. Like at STLV, they'll have a band play the person on, so you know you have a few minutes leeway, some transition time. No transition time here in between. It was go and to the next. But it was awesome. The schedule was full. I didn't know what to expect, but I just remember that first day walking on and the energy and the excitement, and it lasted. You know, all that fun and excitement of the first day just kept going the whole time.
Yeah.
It was so cool. And I had no idea how much fun the late night activities would be. And yeah, I didn't prepare for that. Like, so yeah, by the time I got home, I was just exhausted and actually ill from just partying hard and not taking care of myself, but totally worth it. And I would do it again because I am going to do it again. I got my ticket for next year.
Well, join the club. I also came back with a little sticky sick, but you know, I'll blame Aaron and the people on the pool deck.
it would seem that, you know, not to kind of throw in the somber notes, but we did luck out in that regard. I think our cruise was, if not the last one, but one of the last ones to actually have sort of a typical thing, you know, I suppose the equivalent of con crud. We had mostly flu cases, which, well, in my case, I came down with the flu. Yeah. And then unfortunately, you know, the cruise that was after that, there were already positive cases of the virus.
Yeah. So if someone's listening to this, not knowing when the cruise was, it was, and put it in this historical time in our history where we're dealing with the pandemic, right? So we went on this cruise right as it started being a thing, quote unquote. So like, we got on there and there was like, don't hug people and only fist bump or shoulder bump, which I'm sure today they wouldn't even let you do that, but
elbow bump,
you know. So it was, and you still saw, and people didn't take that as seriously because it was still so new. Mm-hmm. So of course everybody was still hugging, even the talent was still hugging and hands on. And
it was actually quite funny because, you know, it's sort of very slowly started to creep into people's consciousness to do that? Because obviously, you see someone that you see, I saw a couple of people I see every year in Vegas, and your first thing is like, you don't even consciously thinking about it, you want to go and grab them and kiss them and hug them, and then it's like, oh shoot, sorry, and then you start waving live long and prosper signs at everyone and trying to do that silly elbow bump. But by middle of the week, people kind of got into it more or less.
And then the news started to come out. We were very fortunate that all our ports let us in and we didn't have anything. So Aaron, I'm sorry we kept, I don't mean to keep you for last, but best for last, tell us what you thought. Now Aaron and I have been on this cruise together since he's been going, so
the second cruise.
So I love the dichotomy of the newbies and veterans.
I do wonder, how does that, obviously you have this continuation of experience, I wonder, how does the overall impression compare? It's like, this is how I felt when I went to, you went last year, and how does it feel this year?
Well, it felt different this year, and I think it was because of the change in the ship, and before, you could, talking about late nights, you could stagger back to your room because you knew the layout of the boat really well by that point. But this year it was more like, oh my God, I don't even know where I am, and it seemed like it was a bigger ship. I enjoyed on the Norwegian ones doing a lot of entertainment out by the pool area. There wasn't as much of that, but it was really cool because the main way through the middle of the ship.
The promenade.
Yes. That was so cool. And things were happening there, and it felt like you were in a city that was floating.
And it was very DS9, right? I mean, it did feel like the promenade in some ways.
I thought they did a great job with that space.
Yeah, between that and the Tom Paris's holodeck in Voyager is what it kind of reminded me of, because there were burglars climbing up walls. I was just like, this is too cool, one of the things that we found the first year, and we were like, okay, this is a once in a lifetime thing, but we went, as my wife and I both say, we went for the stars, we stayed for the people. Because it really, truly is one of the only places that you can go that turns into a utopia for 1 week a year. Everybody accepts everybody. Everybody loves everybody. And we all have something in common when we step board on the ship. Everybody has that common denominator of Star Trek. And it makes for some of the most surreal and most interesting things, bumping into artists, bumping into all kinds of people. The first year I hung out with Information Society for almost a week. It was great. Of course we've all got stories. Jesse and I have so many stories about bumping into, different actors, but I like the intimacy of it. When you get me to STLV, when I'm one of 50 million jillion people there, to see the same amount of artists and everything, I'm kind of like, eh. But this is more intimate. It's more, and you see the same people year after year, and we've built a friendship. I talk to Jesse almost every day.
Yeah, keeps me sane during this work stay at home thing, because otherwise I'm just talking to dogs and they don't reply. Hey,
if they're gonna start replying, you should get worried then. Until then.
So Aaron, let me ask you a question. So one of the things that I noticed as a former guest, and I heard said a lot, is there was both positive and negatives of the bigger ship. So the bigger ship had about 1,000 extra people than the Jade, I think we were on. Mm-hmm. And it didn't seem as intimate to some of us as the Jade was, because the spaces were bigger. So you had more places for people to hide. Yeah.
I would agree. I would totally agree with that. There were with the Jade, there were times that, we got on a turbo lift, which is what they were on the Jade, with LeVar Burton and, Brent Spiner and Gates McFadden and just like us. And we're standing there going like, whoa, I'm on an away mission,
Yeah.
There wasn't nearly as much running into like there has been formerly. And so I think that was kind of unfortunate side effect of it, but I'm glad that more people get to go and enjoy it because it really is a lot of fun.
I want to chime in and mention this, well, sort of tack on to what something that you mentioned as far as like knowing orientation of things, of where everything is on the ship. And I actually find that a fairly hysterical experience because I normally think of myself like, okay, I can orient myself. I go to plenty of conventions and every convention center has a different layout. So one way or another, you have to kind of learn how to orient yourself to figure out where to go when you're rushing between photo ops and panels. And here, like Debbie said, everything is short. So even if you went the wrong way and you have to go across the entire ship to go where you're actually supposed to be going, you're actually not losing that much time. But it is kind of getting a silly, I don't know, overtones, because literally you have people kind of going back and forth several times. And still by middle of the week, end of the week, you still kind of like, I'm not quite sure which way Studio B. Let's try going this way and see if we're going to hit the points or not.
So even when I went to go find my room, it's different than Vegas, because no matter how I went to find my room, I always had time. But like, I will confess that I spent the first 3 days of that cruise going into the wrong side of the deck to get to my room. And so I'd walk around pretty much the whole ship and go make a big U.
Oh. No, yeah, that's
what
a long
the door
way
decorations around. Are for. You know, yes. The door decorations are everything.
And yes. So, like, I don't know why. I'm like, this can't be right. How am I always on the wrong elevator? And it was like, someone finally, I think it was my roommate Eric, finally went like the right way, because he's pretty much smarter than I am and that stuff. I'm like, oh, you can go this way, and I'm like, And I just kept that in mind and tell him what I did because I didn't want to seem like an idiot. But now I am confessing. I walked around that ship. I walked so many miles in the wrong direction. It's not even funny. Yeah.
My thing was exactly that. I'll be like, okay, I need to go to the main theater, to Palace Theater. And invariably, I find myself exactly at the opposite side. And I'm like, well, this is so, well, I feel stupid. You know, like, I know that I was going the right way.
Yeah.
So what are you going to do? But yeah, it's absolutely, the door decorations were wonderful in that regard. Like, if you find like one feature, they'll be like, okay, I have to remember this is where stuff is so you can orient yourself.
Yeah, we did have the landmarks. So the landmarks are always helpful. Did you guys?
on the Jade, though, the fish swam towards the front of the ship.
Yes. Yeah.
There was no fish on the carpet swimming anywhere.
That's true. Like having something on the floor that tells you which way is forward or something on the walls really does make a difference.
Yeah, I did it.
I would go a lot of times to the elevator where the picture of the ship was and look at it and be like, okay, there's the front, there's the back. And then I would go. I would almost always check that before taking off.
Well, and I did enjoy the changing of the days on the elevators.
Yes.
So like, at least I knew what day it was.
But you know something? There was actually one elevator. There was one day when they forgot to do it. So out of four elevators, one of them had the wrong day. And I was like, ooh, somebody's going to get me really confused by that.
But that happened on the print schedule on the Saturday.
Yes.
The Saturday, yeah. The print schedule said Friday. And I got so confused.
But something that you said, as far as like, having some sort of small signage. I was actually contemplating that, you know, I don't want to like strictly compare a cruise to a convention because it is an unconventional experience. It, like literally convention in underlined quotation mark. But actually having some sort of like literally if they put, I don't know, they had plenty of those things marking where the queues that were supposed to start. They could have put one near those giant stairs that were going through the decks. And literally you would have like an arrow pointing one way saying main theater and the arrow pointing the other way saying ice rink. And people would have, at least that would have been a kind of a nice little thing to kind of orient yourself.
I don't know. It took me 4 days to realize that Studio B was an ice rink. So... I was pretty bad, guys. But
my God, Jesse, you need somebody with you at everything.
Yeah, I need a guide person to walk me around, apparently. But that's part of the fun with it. And I will mention, like, so we talked about. So this was a new ship for ECP, and just to get your opinions, Marina and Aaron and Debbie. So what I got from ECP when we first started this cruise is like, if something didn't work, they would fix it right away, or they would address it or do the best they can. Like, they would definitely listen and watch and try to accommodate when things were going crazy. And I had forgotten that until this cruise, because it's a new ship. So they had to deal with a lot of new things. Like, they'd not worked with Royal Caribbean on this cruise before. Even the staff, you know, they're very friendly, but I know most of them were like, what is going on here? Why are these people green and blue, and what is going on? And they accommodated really well. They got they figured out what we were doing, you know. But so I felt like they did pretty well, but it felt like we went back to like year one or two where they're still learning, just because of the new ship. And, you know, and Marina, you have a lot more details than I do about, you know, the queues and the photo ops and this and that. Things were just done differently in the past. And I felt like we reverted a little bit, but I think it's because, you know, I know it's because they had to deal with a whole new cruise line.
And the layout. Yeah. Because that was primarily, I think that was the main issue, is that logistics-wise, it was very difficult to figure out what to do with the queues. Because it's probably brand new ship and the way it's set up, because the queues were trouble. And I know that there was a couple of days when, especially like when they were having the entire Voyager, something that for the people who signed up in previous cruises, the complimentary cast group photo, that one was, I heard a lot of complaints. A lot of people were literally suffering because the lines were lasted for hours and hours. As you said, ECP was listening. Like, anything that you would come up and you could go, and if it wasn't the person who would, if it wasn't a specific situation that they could actually address right away, if it were just literally me coming up and saying, you know, somebody really has to think about this, and going forward, yeah, somebody was there taking notes. They were listening. In my case, it's kind of goes back to what I mentioned before, this separation between the track side of things, which was ECP, and the cruise side, which is Royal Caribbean. My sister and I did not particularly care for how some of this stuff was handled by Royal Caribbean. We did have issues. I mean, we actually had a leak in our cabin that was fixed fairly quickly. Kudos to the person who was actually in charge of our side of cabins, our corridor. He was very much on top of things. But other things, not so much. I mean, I wasn't impressed by food. I wasn't impressed by quality of internet. So that's the cruise side that, I did not care for. And those were a little bit more frustrating to deal with, let me put it this way.
Aaron, did you have, you come across anything, Aaron, like that kind of made you think twice about what's going on?
No, as usual, I just adore ECP. Those guys have been nothing but fantastic. Kelly, my girl, I mean, my gosh, she's solid. She is solid.
We'll give her another shout out, Kelly.
Yes, absolutely.
I just think she works magic. And then with ECP, one of the things that really upset me this year was that Felix had passed away from the previous cruises.
Yeah.
And that really upset me because he was just a fantastic person. And so that was upsetting. But yeah, the layout of when to get in line. I mean, we stood in line for what we thought were getting our ticket passes, and come to find out it was behind us. And so I just turned around and I just happened to be in the line that I needed to be in. but they need to break that up a little bit more than what they have done in the past with the number of people, or really try to limit, you know, how many people are going to be able to buy a picture or buy an autograph, you know. I don't buy that many, you know. I go and I see some of the people that I want to see or that I haven't seen, or, you know, that I've met at the cons or on the ship in the previous couple of years. But, you know, I agree with you, Jesse. It does kind of feel like it went back to year one, mainly with like the decoration and everything. I miss the Borg cube. Cube a lot.
Yeah, and I know you guys have seen pictures of the previous cruises, but we did get spoiled with the turbo lifts. And I mean, the elevators were turbo lifts. And like, every little corner of that ship was redone, every restaurant renamed. I mean, it was truly immersive. And like, even the drinks, the Star Trek drinks, you knew what they were. You didn't have to go hunt them down, you know? That in itself was a little different, but I also know that the ship is like hopefully going to get a remodel. I don't know with what's going on. I know they're delayed, but
you know what? I actually kind of assumed that because I expected this, and it's not like I was disappointed because I don't have that experience with, like you said, with the immersiveness with the elevators and restaurants. But actually, when I saw that, I'm like, okay, this looks like the restaurant, like the main dining room. It's just the main dining room. The only thing is that, of course, the rules are lifted, and you can sit there in shorts and jeans and whatever. But it wasn't like Trekkified. So I kind of assumed that because they said the ship was supposed to be completely remodeled, that's why they didn't quite go the distance, because things would be different next year anyway.
Yeah, that's an investment too, to do all the signage and everything that they've done before.
But what they did was amazing.
If they've done it a bunch and they can reuse it, but like that was their first time. The other thing, a lot of the things people were disappointed with, you know, like the queues and stuff, you got to remember, ECP has done this before, yes, but they've never done it with another 1,000 people thrown in. You know, it's you throw in another 1,000 people, and it makes all the lines longer, and it's get a lot trickier.
And the other thing too, and I will give you this, is like the ship was bigger, and there was a lot more to decorate, right? So Studio B on its own, that was a whole different like arena that we didn't have to worry about last year. And
it was gorgeous. Did you see all the movie posters in there?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And I will tell you the other thing, the Rise Up party was at the pool, and it was scheduled for the pool. And then we had, we had the most shaken cruise I'd ever been on. Right. And so, how they brought that what's it called? The totem thing. How do I know? You know, the thing that, you know, you.
Horgon.
Yeah. Well, I was going to sell you what it does, but G-rated show. But
do not go into those details.
Sage of Maharan, that's all you have to say.
But anyway, how they dragged that sucker down into there and got it decorated, how they were able to get the Enterprise Blues Band to turn over into like Band 47 or whoever, like for the Rise Up party. I mean, I got to tell you, like I know they do a lot of this production stuff, but I was really impressed, you know, that they could be so flexible in such a limited space, you know, and have to plan, you know, very last minute to do something different. You know, we had that the first cruise. So the first cruise, we had like a really rough sea day, and we didn't get to stop at the private island that Norwegian had. And so they quickly had to get together all of their talent to think of something to do for a whole day that they didn't have planned. And it's it was amazing. And actually there's stuff that happened there that continues to happen all the time, because it's it was just that well taken.
All you need to do is just hand Ethan Phillips a microphone.
Basically.
And let him go to town.
Him and Denise Crosby do that, you know, mystery science theater thing. Oh, my gosh.
Please, when you say Denise Crosby and Ethan Phillips, my brain is now permanently has that image from when they did the reading when he was the Horta and she was McCoy. We'll talk about shows a little bit later on. I do want to ask the two of you now. This is something obviously has come up several times, and Garrett mentioned that this was a fairly choppy, stormy cruise. I have no point of reference, period, since I haven't even done any kind of cruise before. So just how bad was it for you guys? Because I just so happens my sister and I apparently have very good sea legs. We weren't affected by anything at all when this stuff was going on, and a lot of our friends actually were unfortunately quite sick. So was it really as bad as some people are saying it was? Because I actually had fun with all this up and down, side to side.
I didn't get sick from it at all, which surprised me, because I do have problems with motion sickness. But I had a terrible time just maintaining my balance walking around. And some people actually thought I'd been drinking, just because I was wearing heels and trying to walk around with that side to side movement. I just couldn't. I felt like I was learning to walk again, kind of struggling to stay upright, but it was just too much motion.
I don't walk in a straight line even when nothing's shaking. So actually when it was shaking, I was much better, because it kind of went in sync with the way I walk. So.
Oh
Aaron, how about you? You and Felice have any issues?
Yeah, I was seasick for the first 3 days.
Oh,
it was
awful. Okay.
I would get out long enough to go and see something, take a shot of rum, and go back to the room, you know? And that was because I asked them, you know, what's the best thing to do? Is this rough? I asked the crew, and they were like, you just need to drink more. I was like, oh. That sounds like a logical thing to me. Okay.
So, Aaron, I know you mentioned about how, like, he came for Star Trek, and then we've got this whole new family, and we do, guys. So, on the show notes, we're going to put a picture. We call it the family picture. We thank you, Amanda, from ECP, who's one of our photographers. She just answered in a big way. A bunch of us who have been cruising together wanted to do one big picture, so she got us in a promenade, set us up, did a few shots, and I mean it was fantastic. So thank you for that. But you know, like, the thing that gets me, so like, Aaron, you guys, I don't know if you're comfortable, but can you tell us about your room? Because you had like the Star Trek family room. You've got to tell us about your room.
There are videos of it on YouTube. Let's put it like that. We were in 1804, and it's on the 13th floor, and it sleeps six, and it has 1.5 baths with a living room. And we got it because it was the same price as a junior suite, which is way smaller. But thank goodness for the pre-booking. That's my room until I stop going. So, we would have people in, and they, you know, they have a room that was big enough for the bed, and that's it. And they come in our room, and we're like, would you like some fresh fruit? You know? It was crazy. But yeah, we're bringing my wife Felice's dad and stepmom next year. And so it'll be nice. And our friend Brendan's coming back. So it's kind of nice that we can all just stay in one place.
It really reminds me of that BBC show, Keeping Up Appearances.
Yes.
And Felice just going, hey, we're just always do this.
Yeah. Hey, you know. It was, you know, it was, the price was, there's only two rooms like it on the ship. And we got one of the ones, and a friend of ours got the other one. And you get to go to the concierge club, which is really just, it's just a small room that you can go and get coffee and sit down at a table at. It's not any fun. But yeah, I mean, with as much time, like, you know, when you're on the cruise, I'm up at, you know, 7:30, 8 o'clock in the morning, and I come back to bed at 3 o'clock in the morning. So it really didn't matter to me, you know, what it looked like.
No, but I think it's just awesome because, like, I know the room was, like, well used, let's just say. Everybody visited. I did not visit your room, unfortunately, but everyone else.
Oh, wow.
Like, have you been to their room? I'm like, I don't even know where it is. I didn't even know where my room was for a while, so.
Yeah. Oh, was that this year, too?
Yeah, you know, every year you talk about finding your room. I didn't do so well on the Jade either. But what I did have was always a lot of fun. So we've talked about a lot of the cruise part and a lot of the family part. So can we, Marina, let's kind of change gears a little bit. Can we talk about, because you mentioned it a lot, the programming, like the Star Trek part of
it. And this is something that definitely has to, let's try to kind of like talk about the things that we did get to see and enjoy. Basically, the main difference for those who are wondering, you know, Star Trek convention as the unconventional thing on board versus Star Trek programming pretty much anywhere else, whether it's STLV or not. And just the main thing is that it's more geared towards shows and presentations rather than typical Q&As and presentations that a normal conventional convention would typically carry. So that part I found delightful because literally from what Garrett explained, you know, each talent was basically asked to do something. So it's not your standard Q&A, what do you do right now, and asking questions. It's the guests doing something And then you also do get an opportunity to ask some questions. So that part was absolutely fun. I mean,
for those people who
have met me know that I do spreadsheets. So I just my spreadsheet was chock full of all the things that I could potentially go to. And I did try to hit as many of them as I did. So I did go to Nana's cooking class, and I did go to the Jeopardy that the science people did, and so on and so forth. And it was wonderful, with a capital W.
Yeah, I will tell you, the Nana cooking stuff is always a big hit. So this year I didn't make it to hardly anything. I will admit it was like an SELB year.
Was that the drinking part got in the way?
It was more the family part, because I did have the drink package. So like, I didn't have to like down everything that was in my cup, but like, I spent a lot of time hanging out with these folks who it's amazing how two extra months did, because Aaron, I think you know what I mean, right? So like, we were just dying. Yeah. We're on a messenger group on Facebook all year long. And so like, we were just dying. We literally were dying to see each other. And I don't feel that way about my family, let alone.
But did you get to do something? I mean, and we'll cover excursions separately, but specifically as far as programming the shows and the actual Q&A panels that they did have, did you manage to hit whatever you
wanted? I got to see, so I forget the name of it, but when all of the, like, Kate and everybody was doing that play, that
the Dover trial. Yes.
That kind of stuff always interests me. The game shows always interest me, and like, mm-hmm. the game shows are just fantastic. I missed the talent show type thing that they do. But a lot of the stuff I miss is because, I'll be honest, is because on the other ship, it was all like on the pool deck. There was not very much going on at the pool in that stage area.
And they had to reschedule a lot again because of the weather.
Yeah, but you know, the smokers stayed out there, buddy. I'm telling you, Aaron, hats off to you and the gang.
We are dedicated.
So that was like my home base. It's like, well, I know if I go out here, I will find my people.
Well, Aaron, what about you? Did you, how many shows, presentations did you get to go to?
A couple of them. And now I've got to preface this by saying I started off the first year with a spreadsheet with everything highlighted and ended up making it to a third of what I wanted to go to, because I was having too much fun with Jesse mm-hmm. and the rest of our family.
Yeah,
it's kind of, you know, do you want to do this or do you want to do this? But we got to go to Casey Biggs' mixology class, which was really cool.
That was the one with the extra ticket, right? You had to buy a ticket for that one.
And that was fun. And Casey Biggs is always just really cool. They had a wine tasting the year before that we went to. You see a common theme here. But
they worked really hard.
Like Max Grodencheck. His Max Tonight thing is hilarious.
Yes.
You know, he's so funny. And then in previous years, Ethan Phillips had at least 2 to 3 comedy acts, in which he didn't have one this year. Bugged.
I think he very much redeemed himself while playing Horta in The Reading of the Devil in the Dark.
Oh, yeah.
And if you didn't get to go to that one, like I said, it's stamped on my brain because that was one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
Debbie, what did you and what did you guys do?
We, Rich and I, pretty much every day we got, you know, the schedule the night before, and we didn't make a spreadsheet like Marina, but we might as well have. Like, before we left, we printed the schedule out and we used different highlighter colors, and we probably went to like 4 or 5 panels every single day. And then we always went to dinner at our scheduled dinner time. We always went to the 9 o'clock show in the theater. But then also there were like late activities as well. It's so much of a more full schedule than STLV. It starts as early as 9 a.m. with stuff going on in the promenade and at the pool, and it just goes all day. And I would be like, go, go, go. And then I would have to cross something out so I could take a nap, because, you know, they put the parties down as just, Captain Proton party. Okay. Then you go in there and it's just a wild, fun time. Like, you don't want to leave and go to bed. And I just kept staying up way past when I meant to.
Yeah, and I have to admit that that is one of the things that I consciously sacrificed. Mm-hmm. Because I did have, let's see, how many parties we had total? Five, right? Five or six were scheduled. Yeah. And I did have, well, I wasn't cosplaying, well, because at the moment I'm simply not cosplaying. I can't fit into my uniforms. But I have a ton of t-shirts. So I had themed t-shirts specifically prepared for various parties. And once I saw how the dynamic of the day was going, my days were pretty full. I realized that if I do that, I will basically crash out at some point. So basically my sister has her own way of doing things. So for the most part, we intersect somewhere during the day. Otherwise, we're basically doing our own things. And I realized that if I go to the parties, I just will not be able to physically handle this. So I have to admit that this is the one thing that I did. I went to the shows. I did the excursion. I did this. I did the photo ops. I did not do the parties. I made a point of asking my friends how they enjoyed themselves. I looked at the pictures that got posted on Facebook, but I did not actually go myself. Whenever I go the next time, not next year, I'm skipping until either 2022 or 2023. I'll try to rearrange that. But this year I was like, no, it just would not physically work for me.
You can't do it all. And absolutely. You have to decide. So what I chose is I didn't do a lot of photo ops. I got two that were a big deal to me. You know, the big one, I got Shatner finally, and Mary Chifo, and that's it. And then I decided that I was not going to spend a bunch of my time standing in the queues. Yeah. But you know, you choose what is important to you, and then you have to sacrifice something.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's the same thing for literally every single event, regardless what it is. Is it a cruise or is it a Comic-Con? You must pick and choose. It's impossible to cover every all.
Now, I did accidentally end up at a morning stretch session at the pool, and it was Mary Chifo. And I don't know why I was there. It's probably because I was going the wrong way to the buffet or something. And like
or somebody kicked the lounger, you'd fallen asleep at night before.
I'm walking by, I'm like, oh, it's Mary Chifo, and I'm just standing on a corner. I'm like, I could do that. I didn't, but I could. Because I did yoga with Terry Farrell when she was on a year or two ago, and like it did not go well for me. There was whatever the beach whale move is, that was pretty much my only move for yoga. But Mary Chifo was a lot more stretchy, so I got to do a little bit. But it's cool because it's more than just talk about your stuff on Star Trek. It's like you really get to know the folks, and Mary Chifo is one of the most personable talent that I've seen. So
did you get to see her be made up as Laurel?
Yes, and I got my picture amazing with her as Laurel.
That
was fun because it's like one activity went right into the next. You got to see the whole setup with the makeup and then run down to the other end and get in line and get the picture right after.
But I hate to tell you, Aaron, do you know where that picture is? It is in Wisconsin, because my friend in Wisconsin found it in your room and said, oh, I guess Jesse wants to give it to us.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my word. You're going to have to convince them to send it to you.
I will be visiting with my friends from Wisconsin here in the future, and I will, by God, get my picture.
that was, you know, something as far as speaking of photos very briefly. The biggest difference is, of course, that you don't get a JPEG. That part hasn't been worked out, unfortunately, yet, and I hope that they will go.
Yeah, it was supposed to be, but it wasn't.
Yeah, and so it is a bit of a bummer because it is partly, I understand, because it was their staff, it was Royal Caribbean staff. Not all the photos were done very well in terms of lighting. They did not have, how should I phrase it? Basically, the lighting was not, in some of the photos came out too dark.
Mm-hmm. It did take a couple years for those photos.
Sadly, you do end up with a photo that you can't even fix unless you can scan it really well and somehow work magic if you're really good at that sort of thing. But what I'm getting at is actually, of course, if you have multiple people in the photo, you know, it's always great if you have a JPEG because then you can just multiply and make as many as you want. What my sister and I actually did find that that location when they had the pickup area, if you were to talk to one of the Royal Caribbean staff members, if you can kind of give them a hint where to look for the photo, because we are talking about hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of images to go through, they could actually print you an extra. Yes, it was, you had to pay, I think it was $20. for the extra copy, but you could get it. I'm actually waiting to see a couple of my friends that hopefully soon in person, so I can give the extra photos that, because we had some photo ops done together.
Yeah, one of the things that like I liked about Norwegian, and I know that Royal Caribbean can do it, they just weren't prepared. But Aaron, do you remember this? Like the last Norwegian cruise, you on your key card got a BIN number at the photo place. And so like if you guys taking pictures, they go, what cabin are you in? Well, when they take your cabin and put it on their little camera thing, that means that picture is going to end up in your BIN. So you'll know where your pictures are. So you don't have to go through 1600 pictures to find yours. And I was kind of surprised they didn't do that this year, because they did for like when you got off the ship and you did like the port pictures, or they just took your picture on the ship, they would ask you your cabin number, but they didn't do that for those big lines, you know. But Norwegian did, and that's what kind of made those pictures a lot easier to access, and you could get copies and JPEGs with Norwegian. So I think that's a good suggestion that a couple people have made, and I hope we see that improvement.
Now, but speaking of ports, let's talk about excursions, because that was certainly a big part of the actual cruise experience, not something necessarily unless you did decide to do something together, say in Vegas, but there were plenty of excursions organized through Royal Caribbean, some of which were inclusive of a guest, one of the actors. So which ones did you guys do? Let's start with Debbie.
Okay, so I just want to make it clear. I heard you say something about you went, I think Aaron said he went for the talent and stayed for the people. I went for the people. I went because I wanted to hang with my Trek family. I didn't do any sponsored excursions. In fact, on two of the 4 days, I didn't even bother trying to exit the ship. I just wanted to hang out with my friends and the people I went to see. So the one time we did get off was in Puerto Rico, but only because one of my friends had on her own organized with a tour guide to give the four of us a walking tour of the city.
So lovely.
It was only five of us walking around. It wasn't a big crowd or anything. So we could ask whatever we wanted, stop wherever we wanted. And it wasn't very expensive, but that was the only excursion we did. The rest of the time, we either stayed off the ship, or that one time, you know, Jesse, that one time, where was that, in the Bahamas?
That was the Bahamas, yeah, Freeport.
We got off the ship, walked around for a little bit, and got back on. Like, we didn't go do a thing. There was a little bit of shopping, but somebody said it was a bit like walking through an airport terminal. You
know? It kind of was. Like, I'm guessing that all those Freeport excursions were, like, a bus trip out somewhere, because there was nothing just really right there, but... But if Debbie wouldn't have been there, I wouldn't have gotten my nice necklace, because Debbie had to lend me money. Somebody lent me money. I don't know who, but thank you.
It was me. Mommy got you a necklace. but that was, you know, I don't have any regrets. In fact, I kind of sort of recommend that, because the people who did the excursion, some of them experienced a lot of stress around it. And I was just chilling. Having the best
whole
time.
I know, Debbie, that like for me, and I'll go next. For me, I did one excursion. It was the walking tour of Puerto Rico with Wilson Cruz. And I did it because I'm Puerto Rican and I wanted to see, you know, how things have changed since I was 4 years old. That's the last time I was there. No, actually, I was there a few years ago, but like it was just nice to see this part. And it's like, how can I say it? Like, if you live local in a tourist place, so let's say you live in Los Angeles, you probably don't want to hang around like the Chinese theater too much, because that's where all the tourists are. Well, the port in San Juan, you don't want to hang around there if you live there, because it is just crazy. And it is.
Yeah.
I got off of there and I just like, I thought, so I always think that I know best. I said, oh, I'll go talk to one of these guys, because I wanted to get some like Puerto Rican food. So I asked the guy, he's like, do you want to take a tour? I'm like, no, I'm just trying to find, you know, Puerto Rican food. He says, well, there's none around here. You'll have to go on my tour. And I was like, I don't think that's true. And so like, Eric and I then ran into a couple of folks that I knew, and they're like, oh yeah, we know about this place. It's right. And we went with them for lunch. Right. And so that's what I wanted. All I wanted to do in Puerto Rico was eat and take the walking tour at Wilson Cruz. And the tour was great. He was very personable. It was a small enough group that we could all hear him. He was not the leader of the cruise, but he, you know, had his, you know, we took pictures and all that stuff. So it was fun, but I didn't do any other excursions. And Marina, I'll tell you why, because in the past, those excursions usually start as you dock. And so you dock like at 7 or 8 in the morning. Well, yeah. Jesse, after a night of fun, is not doing too well at a 7 a.m. Excursion. Let's just say it was like, oh, that's a nice monkey. Can I take a nap now? Usually. And then last year I went to, I think it was Jamaica, and we did the waterfalls, and I did not know it was this very vigorous hiking tour of some waterfalls that like you could kill yourself on. But like Robert Picardo was in front of me. So I'm like, okay, if Robert Picardo can do it. Well, I fell. Robert Picardo did not fall on the waterfalls as I did. And it was too early in the morning. So I said, no, I'm not doing these excursions that I have to like, you know, get up for. But to their credit, a lot of the excursions actually started a little later this year. So, but I'm like Debbie, I really just wanted to spend time hanging out with people and having some fun, which is what I did. So.
What about you, Aaron?
I'm kind of with Jesse on this one. I think I like the ones that are really small that are with the artists. So the first year we went, we did clear bottom kayaking with Armin Shimmerman. And I'm a huge Cork fan, so it was really cool. There were like 15 of us and him, and it was really, really cool. Then we did another one with Max. And we didn't even see him, but when we got there, when we came back, you know, so a little disillusioned with some of that. And I didn't see any of the ones this year with anybody that I'd really want to go and do something with. And the rest of it, it's, you know, I personally, I hate scuba diving. It makes me feel like I'm going to die. And, you know, I just don't like being trapped underwater. And then I don't, you know, some of the ones that we tried to get on, I wanted to do the rum and chocolate one. Common theme again. But it seemed like it would have been fun. But we got off in Puerto Rico, and we went and ate, and Jesse's right. You were hounded from the second you get off the boat, everybody wanting to give you a tour or something, which I found quite comical. But, you know, they got to make their living somehow. And I think this year it was a little different because of the hurricanes that went through the previous year. Like Freeport, I looked out the window and said, ew, I'm not going there.
Yeah, you know? It looked a little run down. I mean, and Puerto Rico still hasn't really recovered all that well from that first hurricane they got. So I was in Puerto Rico right after that when my mom passed away, and it was, it's a little sobering. If you fly into Puerto Rico, totally off topic, if you fly into Puerto Rico, what you see are all the blue tarps that people still have on their houses. So, but it got better from the last time, from 2 years, but then they got hit with an earthquake now and another hurricane.
Yeah,
right.
So
yeah.
I'm like, well, I don't know. I think this island's just going to, you know, get sunk at one time. But I will tell you the one thing, did you guys catch on to the group that somebody had scheduled that observatory tour?
Yes.
I heard any of you guys that? Do it?
No. Oh. I speaking of like my own experience with excursions, my sister and I went through the entire listing, and it partly kind of like what Aaron said, neither one of us is into either scuba or snorkeling or anything else. I mean, there was one tour when I said, well, it, you know, you can go on this fresh water thing with look at tropical fish, whatever. And my sister, having a very medical sarcastic sense of humor, said she had a, I don't know, an acquaintance whose wife got eaten by a freshwater crocodile during a toilet. And I was like, well, God. I guess we're not going now. So we did want to, since we're not, like I said, neither one of us is very good with too much sun, even with sunblock. So we looked at it, and the only one tour that jumped at us was a walking tour of San Juan. The only we did not with Wilson Cruz one, we did the one with Nana Visitor. And that was wonderful, even though it kind of started out in a weird way because our group was, it was probably about 50 people, maybe a little bit more. We got separated into two shuttles. And once we got there, the person who was in charge of our shuttle started the tour, and we're like, hold on. We're supposed to have, you know, the celebrity with us. So it's like, it's a bigger group. It's not two separate groups because it's two separate shuttles. So, and apparently the people who were kind of, the person who was leading the tour did not know about this. So we waited for the other tour, for the other shuttle to show up. And then we basically had two guides with us taking turns talking about stuff. And it was incredibly enjoyable. And I kind of enjoy this sort of thing when you have both the movement and, well, I suppose intellectual stimulation. I enjoyed history a lot. So that was a wonderful thing. Otherwise, my other things that I did plan to do, I did the whiskey tasting with Dr. Aaron, and I did the wine tasting with Roxanne Dawson. I did not have a drinking package, but this was exciting. And I was really, really happy with both experiences. So I highly recommend those.
Yeah. So Marina, I tell you, I did that with the walking tour. We got lucky. And I'll tell you, towards about half of it, Kenneth Mitchell, we like ran into him, and he's like, can we join your tour? And like the tour guide's like, no, this is a special tour. We just all turned at her and said, he will join us. He will join us.
Oh my gosh.
So we did get to end the tour with him, and it was really great because, you know, like my heart went out to him. You know, I read that story before the cruise and then saw him on the cruise, and, you know, it was just, it made me feel really good to have him along and see him have fun. So that was kind of my most special point of the cruise, was just spending a little time with him. So
yeah. Oh, he was having fun.
Yeah, he had fun.
Yes, I was there at the party, his party,
the rave, the clean and rave.
He was definitely having some fun.
As far as excursions, I actually, there was a couple of days, there were 2 days, I think, port days, when, well, the one with Freeport, I think that was actually the freest day that we had, because it was literally middle of the day, and we had nothing to do. My sister decided that she's basically dedicated the day to the napping, and I just took the time to finally kind of properly go through the entire ship and take a look at stuff, take a look at the door decorations, because there was so much activity in, you know, first half of the week. There was literally no time. People like, oh, there is this one thing decorated as regeneration chamber. I'm like, I want to see it, but I have no time because I got stuff planned already. So that was the day where a lot of people went, well, I don't know how many people actually went down. The ship felt pretty empty in Bahamas. But I kind of took the time to just kind of go around, take pictures of some of the artwork that they had in the corridors. The ship itself was quite interesting to look at. And I don't know how much time people actually spent doing that, because everybody was occupied either with excursions or the parties or, you know, whatever track performances that were happening on stages. So for me, that was like I just wanted to try at least one excursion, and I'm glad that we did have the San Juan one, because that was probably the most fitting with my personal way of doing vacations.
Yeah, it was. I think I'll think about it next year. I know next year, so like I am going next year, because I just got to keep it going until I get fired and don't have a job or whatever. But I do want to do, like, I've been promising myself ever since I lost enough weight that I would zip line. And there were zip line opportunities, but like I wanted to be with my friends more. So I didn't do that. But it's definitely what I'm looking for next year. I do, however, guys, want to, Marina, I don't know what else you want. I know you wanted to mention a couple other things, but I don't want us to forget. There's two things I don't want us to forget to talk about. One is cosplay, because Debbie needs to tell us how she did it.
Yes, please.
And two, just because it's shore leave and because it's part of the family, I do want to give a special shout out to your sister, Olga, for being on the front lines of this whole thing. And maybe you can give us a little update on how she's doing before we close out. But she needs to know that she is loved and appreciated in the family.
Oh, thank you, Jesse. You're the sweetest. But yes, absolutely. Let's talk about cosplay, because this is certainly an experience, and it differs literally from year to year in the same event, and certainly between different events. Vegas has one thing going, New York Comic Con has another thing going, and it's all exciting, and they're all different and wonderful. So let's talk about cosplay for Star Trek the Cruise. There were some amazing, amazing costumes this year.
Yeah, and Debbie, I think you're probably the best cosplayer. My $27 outfit, though, did turn a few heads, I will say. So. Best $27 I ever spent. But
Devin, oh, you were like $1 million, not $27. So it was good. It was money well spent.
But tell us about, so guys, I'm just going to like talk about Debbie and Rich a little bit. These guys are the funnest cosplayers I have ever met in my life. And I will tell you that I know the secret is that they didn't start like doing their own costumes and stuff until just recently when they started going to Vegas. And so like self-taught tailors, self-taught cosplayers, absolutely fabulous, everything they do. We'll post some of your cosplays on with this show, Debbie.
Okay.
But hats off to you, because you're like my hero.
Thank you. That's very sweet. I did. I learned to sew in 2013. And I learned to sew by making the Deanna dress, the green Deanna dress. Mm-hmm. And that was my sewing lesson project. And I, little by little, you know, every year I would pick a cosplay project based on the sewing skills that I would need to learn to do it. And so I used cosplay as a way to learn the skills. Unfortunately, my mother is awesome and a very good teacher. And so she taught me everything. And I love the challenge, and my husband loves the challenge. So we take on like a big 12-month project to prep a pair of costumes every year. And it's a big deal, and we have a great time, and we take them to Vegas and do the costume competition, and we have a blast. It's just so dang fun. And all the cosplayers are just really cool people, and we love being part of the cosplay community. But that said, we go to Vegas. We're the con itself is 5 days, right? But we go for 11. So we have to drive. We only took a plane that first year. After that, we have to drive, because when you're taking 5 pairs of cosplay, you're talking about, you know, 10 pairs of shoes, 10 wigs, 10 full outfits. It just, it adds up like quickly in terms of the amount of space it takes. And so you're right. We bought, when we were van shopping, actually, we bought this car. We bought the extra long model so that we could get more stuff in it, and we fill it, I'm not even kidding, we fill it all the way to the ceiling in the interior so that when you're driving, like, you have to use the mirrors to see. So when we were going to go on this cruise, I was like in a panic. We can't cosplay. We're just going to wear street clothes. We can't possibly cosplay. My husband's like insistent, no, that's the whole fun of it. We have to. And so then he picks which one we're taking, and of course he picks one that I have a humongous big tall wig and a very fluffy dress, and he's got like 4 layers of velvet and all this stuff, and I'm just like, oh my gosh, we're gonna break it. And so I gave him the challenge of figuring out how to pack it. That's his like strength. He's very good at making like all my jewelry. He makes the shoes, he helps with the wigs, and I'm like the fabric person. I construct the fabric part, but man, when it comes to packing, he's in charge of that. Somehow he managed to get all of our cosplay for the cruise into 2 large standard suitcases that you check and 2 rolly suitcases that we carried on. And that was it. That was all we had. But we got very clever with some things. Like, for instance, my cosplays each have a special pair of shoes that go with that cosplay. And this time, I looked at all the shoes and I just picked out 3 pair that could be like interchange. So instead of bringing the correct shoes for the cosplay, I just brought 1 pair of like black heels that I used for several, 1 pair of black boots that I used for several. So when I usually cosplay, like, I'm much more specific and accurate. Here it was more about how much space is this going to take in my suitcase and what parts can I reuse in a different thing.
What did you cosplay for the cruise?
We only brought 1 of our like big homemade cosplays, and that was the Trelane and Teresa Ross. And the reason I was concerned about that is because the Teresa Ross has a giant ostrich feather headpiece, which I was pretty worried about breaking those because we had those custom made, and I'm not sure we could replace them if we broke them. And custom dyed. Rich made the headpiece, but the feathers were dyed. And that blue velvet coat is thick, and it takes up like a quarter of a suitcase all by itself. But he really wanted that one, so we made it work.
awesome.
Yeah, the rest of the stuff we wore were just like uniforms. And I know that sounds funny, but to us, a uniform isn't like a cosplay because it's a standard. We see that differently. A uniform is like daily wear, and a cosplay is like a special homemade thing that you spent a year working on.
Well, you guys are always looking pretty good, so.
Well, that's very sweet of you.
Pulled it off.
So much fun. So much
fun. So, Aaron, did you guys do it? Did you do any cosplaying that I forget because of the drink package?
I forgot because of the drink package. No, Felice did. She made a sequin dress by hand that with all the with the Star Trek chevrons all over it. That she made by hand. It took her months. And then there's me. I'm like, see that shirt over there? That's cool. And I'm gonna put a badge on. You know. And that's I did make all of my t-shirts that I wore this year. I made though, which is, you know, not as cool as cosplaying or not nearly the amount of work that Debbie puts in.
How do you make a t-shirt though? Like, I don't even know how to do that.
With a Cricut maker.
What is that? Cool.
It's really cool. You go into like Photoshop or something and you put in a design, then you put it into the software and it cuts it. It's like a mat cutter, a really tiny mat cutter. And so you put in the material that you want to cut, the vinyl or whatever, and it just goes and does whatever you told it to do in the program. And then I've got a t-shirt press, and then I just take it over and press it on there. So, you know, good results. It's not like the old school ones that you print out on an inkjet printer and you just iron it on. It looks awful. These, you know, look pretty good.
That's cool.
Yeah. We'll have to talk. You may have to do something.
Did you get to go to the costume? Well, there was a pre-judging, and then there was the actual costume party with John Delancey judging. Did you get to go to either one of those?
We did. It was fun. There were so many awesome costumes. And my favorite thing at those is just walking up and down the line and, like, looking at everything.
Yeah.
Once we got inside the room, it was too darn hot in there. And not enough oxygen.
Yeah.
But just outside, all the milling around was so cool.
Well, some of the ones that I've seen over the years, I wonder to myself, how did they get that on the ship?
Yeah.
I'm doing good just to get clothing on there, you know, and here they come in dressed up with something that's like 15 feet tall and it has all these robotic parts to it. And I'm like, what in the, how?
You know, you remember Aaron last year, we had like six people, full-fledged Borgs, and they were from the UK. So like they somehow got the Borg outfit and the weapons through the UK onto that ship, and they like became the highlight of the cruise because they were everywhere, because I believe that's the only thing they had to bring on the cruise. They couldn't have any other clothes.
Well, if I'm not mistaken though, ECP had something to do with it, and the guys were from Germany and they're a Borg troop, and they do it for conventions and everything else, and I think ECP brought them on board.
That's a little bit, but
it's still entertaining. I noticed there were a lot of crossover costumes. So, you know, like to STL, we tend to have more straightforward, if very elaborate and incredibly well made, that, you know, specifically strictly Trek costumes. Here we had the one that I really liked because it looked incredibly creepy. It's the clown from the new It movie.
Dressed up in
the command, in TNG command uniform, that with balloons and everything. And I know I've seen the Harlequin, I know that I saw Deadpool, and they were dressed up in, you know, like either uniforms or something else that was obviously Trek, but it was a character from a different franchise. Mm-hmm.
And that was Mark Dabar, believe it or not.
that was a lot of fun to observe because it certainly shows that imagination that the cosplayers have.
Yeah, it was like when I saw that, first of all, I am never going to see that movie. So like the only clown I'm scared of. when I went to Los Angeles the last time, they had a little It house on the middle of the, you know, where the stars are. And I'm like, nope, I'm not even walking by. But yeah, Mark is that's impressive. Him and his wife do a lot of really good cosplay. So
yeah, they were right next to us in the line. It was very hard to stand right next to that the whole time.
Isn't it?
Creeping me out.
That was an amazing, amazing makeup. I mean, like literally you're standing a foot away. It's like, this is,
yeah,
this is, oh, like, no, this, it was from the movie.
Beautifully done. Really well done.
Those cosplayers and the costume party has progressively gotten more and more intricate and more out there as the years have progressed.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and did you guys see the Gorn very much? I feel like I missed the Gorn this year a little bit. He was in like the game show. The ECP Gorn is absolutely hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
We had some awesome cosplayers who prepped some, like, for the Gorn Gala. There was a couple who had done up, and they had, like, the Gorn all dressed up fancy, and a female Gorn in a fancy gown, and oh my gosh, they did such a good job.
It just always amazes me.
All right, so I think we covered most of the experience, and let's basically do like last minute thoughts. What stood out the most for you, and what you're hoping to see next year? Hopefully.
So, who wants to start? Let's start with Aaron.
Oh,
nice.
You threw me for a loop there. No, and to be honest with you, Marina, we haven't even scratched the surface.
Of course. I mean, we decided to talk about every single thing. I mean, I actually was thinking, like, well, should we talk about the party that happens before we board? Should we talk about what people are doing outside of, you know, it's sort of like every other event when you do things, you know.
Right.
My sister and I spend an entire day at Miami Zoo. So, you know, we can spend a day talking about this. But in this case, I mean, let's try to be realistic for our listeners.
Yeah, anything, you just talk about anything that you feel like you absolutely are going to burst if you don't let us know.
Oh my gosh, I'm kind of a private person. I can't wait for next year. I can't wait for the, you know, like Connor Trenier is coming back. That guy is fantastic. You know, of course, seeing the family, which I see, you know, a lot of people different times through the year, which is fantastic. I've made lifelong friends like Jesse that, you know I can count on. They're going to be there. And, you know, just hope everybody stays safe and stay at home and don't cough on me.
All right. 6 feet away, buddy. I'm there with you.
At least.
All right, so, Debbie, how about you?
For me, a highlight of the trip was something that my group did was we agreed to have dinner together every day. And so just that special evening time together, coming together once a day, talking about what we did and then what we were going to do. And we almost always went to the evening show together. One other thing I think I have to mention is a delightful surprise on a whim. We went to Garrett Wong's comedy show that one time, and it was so good that I actually went back and saw it again the second time. And if they don't put him in the big room next year, they're crazy, because
that was a great show. Yes,
he has got to do that again, and he needs to be in the big theater. It was amazing, and I'm really excited for all the new people coming next year, because that will only be my second Star Trek cruise. So although you guys have seen, you know, some of them before, for me, it'll be the first time with them on a cruise.
Good deal. Thank you. Marina, what about you?
Well, I did mention the highlight, the absolute highlight, I consider, when we spoke with Garrett. So I'll just repeat that. That was a wonderful marriage proposal by a mutual friend from STLV, Christian Bobek. He proposed to Ivanka, his girlfriend. And that was done during Kate Mulgrew's photo op. And Michelle Herbert organized a group photo. So that was an absolute perfect track moment of the entire thing, and I cherish this. I'm very glad I actually got a copy of it for my sister and I, and this was absolutely delightful. And everything else, it was, like I said, tremendous experience with everything track that ECP produced. As far as going forward, as I already mentioned, I am skipping next year, and it's one of those weird things, because as far as like guests coming on, it's both a factor and it's not, because I am sort of in the position that I've met everyone at this point, thanks to all the other conventions that I've done over the past decade. So it's a little bit, it's like, I would like to see the favorites. I would like to see something else different. At the same time, I've had my experience with the cruise. I can actually hold off a little bit because I do have other events usually planned through the year. And let's face it, it's actually not that easy to handle both a cruise and a large convention during the year. So for those folks listening, definitely try it out if you can, both time and money wise, because this is certainly a very, very unique event. And let's see what next year brings. I mean, I'm sure it's going to be super exciting as this year's was.
Well, we'll definitely cover it. So like,
Jesse, what about you?
You know, for me, it's always about the people. And I probably said the same thing last with when we talked to Garrett, but it really is about just enjoying the people that I don't get to see throughout the year. I am still relatively new in this area, and like my friends are basically all online. The sad thing that I can't do this year because of the situation really is just visit a lot of people. So yeah, I'm just kind of waiting so I can visit, because, you know, Marina, I've been to New York, and Debbie knows I've been to California, and I've been to Wisconsin, and I've been to Arizona. I've been everywhere, and I just have to, there's always a Trek person there. So I'm looking forward to that. And then, of course, my highlight again, if you guys listened to the last episode, is a $27 outfit just stole the show. And I am, and actually the sad thing is that was my profile on my Zoom, and I had a business meeting on Saturday, and I forgot to switch accounts.
You better be careful, because you have to a lot of explanations.
I got on there, I saw the thing, and I like got off really fast. I went, oh, I hope nobody saw that. So
something I want to take on to what I said before, mm-hmm. as far as like this whole thing, as far as you know, spending time with people, I found it to be surprisingly difficult to do during the cruise. And I wonder, is it because I have met that many people that I would so love to do more with them rather than just say hi while we're passing each other going through the promenade? But there were a lot of people. There were people that I knew through Vegas for many years. And then there were people who were like specific to like little separate fandoms. Like there were my ladies that I know from Netherlands and from Germany who are mutual Kate Mulgrew fans. And we all wanted to hang out together. And I was like, you know what? If I actually hang out with every single person, there's literally no time to actually do the cruise period. We can just hang out somewhere, I don't know, maybe in Miami, just sit down in a restaurant and do stuff, because it's a lot of people. So that's actually my thing going probably forward. Whenever I do that, I'd have to adjust the way the dynamic of the day goes to try and fit actually spending time with more people than I did this year. Because this year, it was wonderful. We had, dinners together and a couple of breakfasts, but it wasn't nearly as many, because there was a lot of times where it was like, let's do this. And then because we're different groups, we were the blue cards, and a lot of my friends were actually red cards. So we had evening meals happening at completely different times. Sad.
Yeah. I'll tell you though, like over time, that's why this year was so different for me, because like, not that I've seen everything that was on a panel or anything, but like I just hung out with the people I wanted to hang out with, and the panel suffered. So I just have to find the balance, but it's the same thing with Vegas. I have to find the balance. So, it sounds like everybody was excited about the cruise. I'm pretty excited about that. So Marina, I guess it is time to wrap things up. What do you think?
Yes, absolutely. So, Debbie, where can people find you online?
On Facebook, I'm just under my name, Debbie Reinke, but the first name only is D-B-B-I, so that's a little weird. Thanks, parents. and the Golden Gate Away team. If you're in the Northern California area, join us. When we're not under quarantine, we get together and do fun stuff. Right now, we're just waiting to be set free.
Aaron, what about you?
I can't be found.
You can't
anywhere.
Be found? Oh, no.
No. No, on Facebook, it's The Aaron Jackson. And my website, which I'm rebuilding right now for custom t-shirts, is geeksoffury.com.
Perfect, perfect. Well, thank you for being with us. And Marina, what about you?
People can find me same way as Debbie. I'm on Facebook. Actually, all three, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram under my full name. Or you can find me under my handle at Drakkorex, D-R-A-K-K-O-R-E-X. And as our usual listeners know, Jesse and I are also parts of the admin team for the unofficial Star Trek Las Vegas convention group. And of course, we're your co-hosts for Shore Leaf, this your community podcast, which you can find under that very long, very full name on Facebook and at Shore Leaf on Twitter. And I just wanted to give a shout out to all our fellow fans and friends who are part of the medical community who are currently on the front lines.
Thank you.
Including my own sister, who's actually an emergency room doctor, you know, this trying times, and we'll just have to stick through it together.
Shout out to Olga.
Come out on the other end, hanging there, folks.
Yeah, my brother's an EMT on an ambulance in Santa Clara County too. So yeah.
Well, you guys are in our thoughts, and we look forward to seeing you again.
All right, and Jesse, we saved the best for last.
Oh, that's so sweet. Well, before I close, let me just remind everyone that Shore Leave is part of the Tricorder Transmissions Network, and if you enjoy what we do here on Shore Leave or on any of our other Tricorder Transmission shows, please consider joining our Patreon. You can go directly to patreon.com/thetricordertransmissions or visit our network page, which is thetricordertransmissions.com, or click on the Patreon link where you see us. Becoming a patron will always give you access to unedited and early release episodes, often with bonus materials before or after the show, and an invitation to regular Patreon hangouts with the Tricorder Transmissions hosts and fellow patrons. And we thank all our patrons for their support. Now, if you want to find me, I am on Facebook under Jesse Okendo, and Instagram and Twitter at Outrageous Okendo. That's O-U-T-R-A-J-E-S-O-K-E-N-D-O. And I'm so happy you guys are listening. I'm happy we did two episodes. And everyone, thank you for joining. Really appreciate it. And I just want everybody to live long and prosper.
Yes. Keep on trekking.